First thing I'll say is, what I'm about to say is, I'm not receiving any royalties from what I'm about to say. You all familiar with the product, the Snuggie? The Snuggie is that blanket, kind of shirt, kind of wrapped into one, just perfectly fits around you, and when you get up to walk around, your blanket never leaves you. The Snuggie was this perfect gift, supposedly, for Christmas for the last couple of years. Weiss Market, they even sell it there if you're looking for one. Not that I'm trying to encourage you to go get one. I thought they were kind of silly when they first came out, but maybe one day, maybe I'll get a Snuggie. They make them for people of all shapes and sizes. They make them for little kids. They make them for, obviously, for adults. I think they even make them for, like, pets. They even make them for Shaquille O'Neal. You know who Shaquille O'Neal is? He's like 7 foot, like eight. Maybe that's exaggeration. He's a big boy. He wears like size 24 sneakers. Shaquille O'Neal. He wears Snuggies. Or actually, he did once. And this is the tie-in that I'll make to this morning's message. Shaquille O'Neal, he plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers now, basketball team. And the Cavaliers, just last week, they had a promotional event. And they gave away 20,000 Snuggies to all their fans. And the reason that they gave away Snuggies to all their fans, you can see this, the sea of fans there, was that they wanted to set a Guinness Book of World Records for the most people wearing Snuggies at the same time. And at halftime, in this game last week against the Pistons, they did just that. Everyone put on their Snuggies. And for 5 minutes, the room was just filled with red blankets, with the exception of two people. There's two people who were at the game who didn't wear their Snuggie. One, I don't know what happened to him, but the other guy, he was actually a fan of the other team, the Detroit Pistons, and he knew that it actually was this Snuggie event, so rather than wearing this red Snuggie, he went out and he got a blue Snuggie that was a Pistons Snuggie, and I think there's going to be a picture of him in just a second. This guy, this one guy, stands out in this sea of red Snuggies, and he wears his blue Snuggie, and actually this guy is kind of my hero for one reason. He's my hero because he didn't do what everyone else was doing. He did that which was counter the popular thing to do. He did that which was not expected, and he did that which was what connected with his fan loyalties. I kind of appreciate that. And I want to connect that with what we're looking at this morning in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, there is this great account of this woman who goes into the house of this man named Simon. He's a Pharisee, and at Simon's house, Jesus is there. And he's been invited to be a guest at the dinner table. And this woman, she goes and she serves and she loves Jesus in a room filled with people who just don't really care who Jesus is. If you got your Bibles, we'll look at verses 36 to 50. It's kind of a longer passage, but this is the whole account and it's a great account. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped him with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who has the bigger debt canceled." "You judge rightly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I has entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So we've got this Pharisee. His name is Simon. He invites Jesus to come into his house for dinner. He's got this banquet. And verse 37, it also tells us that this woman, who's apparently from the town, from the area, she came as well as an uninvited guest. Now, Simon, this Pharisee, he doesn't like having this woman there. He sees this woman as a sinner. And he turns to Jesus and he says, well, he doesn't say this with Jesus' intent for him. He doesn't say this with hoping that Jesus would hear. He just kind of mutters to himself, who is this prophet? He should know who this woman is. Why is she in this house? He just mutters that to himself. He doesn't intend for Jesus to hear it. But Jesus does hear it. And Jesus replies and he speaks to him and he gives him a case study. And in the case study, he tells this man, he gives him a great lesson. And as he gives him this lesson, he teaches him about love and he teaches him about forgiveness. One of the things that really impressed me as I looked at the end of the story is that there's two great things that happen at the end of this account. The first is that the rest of the guests that were there, that were present, they say to themselves, they turn to each other and they ask, who is this man who has the authority to forgive sins? And then perhaps the greatest thing that occurs is that this woman who sought forgiveness, she finds forgiveness and she finds Jesus. This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the three really sets of characters that show themselves in this story. You've got Simon the Pharisee. You've got the other guests that are his house, that are at his house, and then you've got this woman. I want to talk for a little bit about each of them and then kind of move on and talk about their reactions as they engage what happens. We'll talk about Simon. Simon, he's the Pharisee. He's the one that's invited Jesus to be his guest at the dinner. And we don't know all the details about who this Simon is, but we know this, that Simon, he's a man who's got some wealth, he's got some prominence in his community, and he wants to impress his friends. And one of the things that you did to impress your friends was, if there was this like passing teacher by coming by, you had him come to your house and join you at the table. So Simon, it seems that he has Jesus come to be a guest at his house because he wants to impress his friends. What we learn from Jesus, though, in this passage is that Jesus is not impressed by Simon's motives. Talk about the next character, this woman. This woman is a really interesting character. And right off the bat, we learn one thing. And the first thing that we learn about this woman is that both Scripture and Simon, they see her as a sinner. Here's another interesting detail about this woman. As she uses her hair and her tears to wash the feet of Jesus, there's no mentioning in our passage about like her having to take off a head covering off of her head. If that is actually how it really was, that tells us an interesting detail about this woman. This woman is a woman. She's not a child. And if she was a woman, she should have had a head covering on her head if she was married. And because she's not married, we see a picture of her not probably having a head covering on her head. And that tells us a little bit more about her. It was expected that if you were of a certain age that you would get married. So it seems from this passage that this woman isn't married. And what that tells us is that this woman is either a promiscuous woman or that this woman is a prostitute. And that seems to be actually the greatest picture that we can see of this woman, that this woman probably is a prostitute. Now this woman, she comes to this banquet as an uninvited guest. Guests were allowed to show up even if they weren't invited, just like this woman did. But when they showed up, they were to just stand in the back just to try to be as inconspicuous as possible. They weren't to speak. They weren't to assert themselves into any of the events of the dinner. This woman, she doesn't completely go along with that. She brings with her perfume. And her perfume, you might wonder, what's the big deal about her bringing perfume with? Her perfume actually wasn't an offensive thing for her to have brought with. But because of this presumed occupation that she's got, that makes the perfume that she's got with an offensive thing. Let's talk about the other set of characters that's in this passage. The other set of characters is these extra guests that are there. We don't learn too much about them, but we learn one thing in verse 49 about them. These guests, they say to themselves, who is this man who forgives sins? That tells us an important thing as well. It tells us that as these guests, they interact with Jesus, they see Jesus, they question, who is this man who has the authority to do that? And the reason why that's an important thing for us to see is that typically, the thing that happened would be, if someone was to be pardoned for their sins, they would be pardoned for their sins by like a priest at the temple, and they'd give a sacrifice. And as Jesus speaks to this woman and he tells her that her sins are forgiven, that's something that these guests don't see in this event. They don't see any sacrifice. They don't see anything happening at the temple. And that's a part of the reason why they say, who is this man? All right, those are our three characters that we're looking at this morning. This story, though, it really hinges on this woman. If this woman had not been in the story, this story would have been, at the very least, it would have been very, very different. Simon the Pharisee, he thought that Jesus should have known who this woman was. Jesus reads his mind and he tells him this story of these two debtors who owe the banker some money. One owed much, one owed just a little bit. The banker chooses to forgive them both. And then Simon is asked, which debtor, which owed the banker more? And Simon answers correctly and Jesus affirms that answer. And then Jesus gives him a life lesson. And the life lesson, we read the words, we'll read them again. Did you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet and her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. As Jesus teaches Simon in this moment, he makes three practical comparisons with Simon, with how Simon has welcomed Jesus into this house and how this woman has. And here's the three things that he mentions. He says to Simon, Simon, you didn't give me any water for my feet. My feet, they were dirty. They were dusty from traveling. You didn't do that. But this woman, she's given me her tears to wash my feet. He says, Simon, you didn't give me a kiss as I came in. You didn't greet me. But this woman, from the time I've come in, she has been kissing my feet. And Jesus says to him, Simon, you didn't put oil on my head. My skin, it was dry. But this woman, she has poured perfume on me. I was thinking about being a guest in a house. Simon doesn't treat Jesus very well as Jesus is a guest in his house. When I was in high school, I had some friends whose home that me and my other friends, we knew that we could go into their homes at any given time. We knew the garage codes to get into their house. We knew where their parents kept the extra key outside the house. And their parents were very comfortable letting us go into the house whenever we wanted, even if they weren't home. That was a rare thing. You don't do that for people. You don't treat people that way. You don't give them that much freedom inside your house. What you do, though, is this. When someone comes into your house, you make sure that they're welcome. You make sure that they're treated well. If someone comes in, you tell them, hey, this is where the bathroom is, maybe. Would you like to sit down? Would you like to make yourself at home? Can I get you something to drink? You treat your guests well. And Simon in this passage, this Simon that we're looking at, he does not treat Jesus well at all. Back when Simon was throwing this banquet, there were some expectations. And those expectations were that Simon would treat his guests well, that he would provide water for them, that he would greet them, that he would fill enough oil for them so that their skin would not be dry. Simon doesn't do any of those things. And Simon, at best, he shows us that his motive for having Jesus there is a selfish motive, that his motive is just to impress his friends. Simon, he treats Jesus in a very ungracious way. He doesn't welcome him. He doesn't make him feel like he's wanted there. This woman, though, she the sinner, she does completely the opposite. She treats Jesus well. She makes Jesus feel at home in a home that's not even her own. She brings this jar of perfume, and this jar of perfume, the scripture said that it's alabaster. I don't know if any of you women are going to go run to the store and go look for some alabaster perfume. It doesn't sound really good. It's something that's supposed to be musky. It's something that's supposed to have this kind of flowery smell, but the musky part, that just doesn't really appeal to me. This woman, she's got this perfume. This perfume cost her probably a day's worth of wage. This was good perfume in this day. This was perfume that was used to bury the dead. This was perfume that the priests would use to wash their hands before they performed some sort of service. This was expensive stuff. So for her, using this perfume on Jesus, this is a great gift from her towards Jesus. And as she's with Jesus, she's moved to tears by the presence of being before Jesus. And she uses those tears. She pours out from herself those tears. And she uses them to wash Jesus' feet. And she continues to serve and continues to care for Jesus. as she uses her hair, her very own hair. We would never use our hair to wash someone's feet. She does that. And as she does that, she shows a measure of her love and her concern for Jesus. Simon, though, in all of this, he shows himself as one who doesn't get any of this. Simon, he shows himself as one who thought that he had everything lined up spiritually before God, that he had all his ducks lined up. He shows himself also as one who thought that he was better than this woman, but turns out he was no better than this woman. And as Jesus is before Simon in this house, Jesus' hope still is that Simon would, as well as this woman, experience the same truth, the same life-changing message that's impacted her. So Jesus, he gives Simon this lesson. Verses 41 to 43, the lesson. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay them back, so he canceled the debts of both of them. Now, which one of them loves them more? And Simon said, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus said, you've judged rightly. Back in this day, if you owed money, you had 7 years that you were to pay it back. And then after 7 years, the original intent of the law was that after 7 years, your debt would be forgiven. You'd be able to walk away from your debt. But many of the money lenders back in this day, they had figured out ways to manipulate the law for their own benefit, to extend that 7 years to maybe double the time period, to even longer than that, even a permanent understanding of how long that person would be indebted to them. And if that person couldn't pay them back, money lenders, they would confiscate your goods. They would turn you into their servant. They would do all sorts of things to force you to pay back that which you owed. As Jesus gives this story, he doesn't talk about any of that. He tells them that this story, that the one who is the money lender, he chooses to be merciful. He chooses to be graceful. He chooses to be loving, and he forgives all the debt. That in itself, that is a picture of the love of God. And this woman, she understands what it means to have her sins forgiven. And Jesus' heart is that Simon would as well. Simon doesn't seem very grateful, though. This conversation that happens, this dinner party that happens, it really does affect each of the three people groups that I mentioned that are at this banquet. It affects Simon, it affects his guests, it affects this woman. Simon, at the very least, he is confronted with the truth. He's confronted with a message of grace, with a message of mercy. What does Simon do with it? We don't know. We don't know what Simon did with the message that he was given. We do know this. Simon, he shows himself as one who is, at the very least, a little bit curious about what Jesus has to say. Jesus tells Simon that he has something to tell him. And Simon, he says, tell me, teacher. We don't know how he said it. But there seems to be some sort of curiosity on Simon's part to know a little bit more about what it is that Jesus has to say to him. The other guests that were there, verse 29, it says that they too, that they're wondering who this Jesus is who forgives sins. We don't know their tone as they make that statement, as that statement is shared. Were they just wowed as they saw this Jesus? Were they surprised at what he said? Were they angry at what he said? We don't know any of that. But we do know this. They too, they're impressed. They're curious. They want to know more. Who is this man? They want to know more. Then there's the woman. She hears what she's been looking for. This woman, she is looking for forgiveness. She is looking for grace. And she comes looking for Jesus, and she finds that forgiveness. She'd been labeled a sinner. She'd been labeled an outcast. Her community, they had said, you will be nothing good. And then Jesus speaks to her and he tells her, your sins are forgiven. And she finds exactly what she's been looking for. For us this morning, I think there's a life lesson in this passage. And the life lesson is knowing. We see this picture here in this passage. That everyone is eligible for the grace of God. Back in this passage, in this story, the folks in this community, many had written this woman off. They said, you are not one who should be in the presence of Jesus. You are not one who should know who God is. You should not know who grace, what grace is. Jesus' heart was that she too would know forgiveness. So I think that's one of the life lessons that we need to walk away as we look at this passage, is that God's heart is that everyone would come to an understanding of what he's done for them, and that everyone would be grateful for all that he is. What I like about this story, what stands out to me about this woman is kind of what I talked about before with the Snuggies. This woman, she stands out in this room filled with people who have no desire to really know, at least at the beginning, to know who Jesus is. And she chooses to worship Jesus in this room filled with people who just don't care that he's there. She reminds me of that Snuggie-wearing guy, that blue Snuggie-wearing guy, because she's in this room. She stands out. And despite all the opposition, she still wants to be in the presence of Jesus. I think that's the thing that we should be encouraged to think about this morning. And that was what really impressed me about this passage as well. That God wants to create in us, us who know His Son Jesus, a sense of boldness that wherever we go, our heart would be that those who see us, that they see that we're not afraid to worship our Jesus, that we're not afraid to proclaim how good He is. So my prayer for us this morning is this, is first of all that each one that's here, that we would know Jesus Christ, and because of that, we would be grateful for all that He's done for us. And secondly, that we would have a sense of boldness that wherever we go, that we go to the store, we go to school, we go to work, whatever it is that we do, that when we're there, that people as they watch us, they look at us and they're like, wow, what's different about you? Because in this woman, in this account, these men that were there that were watching her, they by all means, they had to at the very least conclude that this woman, that she loved Jesus, that she was concerned for Jesus. I pray that would be something that God would be at work in each of our lives as well. That we would have this overwhelming joy to worship Him, even when we're surrounded by people who just don't care. And hopefully as we worship Him, as people watch us, hopefully they're drawn to know Jesus as well.